You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Harry, what's going on, baby? You good?
Of course I'm good. Why would you even ask me that?
I'm sorry. Like that? Sorry, I didn't mean
that. Damn well.
I didn't mean to be disrespectful. Dre, what's up, Dre?
You're shaking. I'm lit.
You ready to go? All right. This is a special show tonight.
I love how he tells us he's lit as if that's different from other shows. He's like, just so you know, guys, I'm lit.
I'm lit already. This is a special show. And now I know I've said that 400 times before, but this time I mean it. We have a special guest on. This is a kind of an answer to, we did a show with Marnie the Wing Girl, and this is her podcast co-host and banter coach, Kristen Carney, and stand-up comedian and all kinds of stuff. And I wanted to get her on here because Marnie recommended her, and I was like, I really dug her so much. Give it up for Kristen Carney, y'all. Give it up for Kristen Carney. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, what's up? What's up,
hey,
Kristen?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. No autographs, really, please.
No problem. Just want to start off by saying my condolences. I know you had a little loss, and I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, I really appreciate you doing the show in the context. I mean, you know, we text back and forth, but dope to have you on. Dope to have you on. So this is interesting. I didn't really tell you guys this, but Kristen is a stand-up comedian, and she's been doing, I don't know if you would call it date coaching or what, or would you say, go ahead, would you tell me? Tell me what you do.
Yeah, to simplify it, I'd say dating coach. But really, I help guys learn how to talk to women, which I would have never in a million years thought I would do. But it started out me doing this podcast with Marnie, the Wing Girl. And I was in a relationship. And once I got out of the relationship, I'm doing stand-up. And I realized when I was dating that guys didn't know how to flirt, be funny, be witty. They were really boring. And so, you know, as a comedian, I'm not full-time comedian and or funny enough to be full-time comedian. So, you know, you need an income. So I was like, this is an opportunity. I wrote a guide for Marnie that she sold called How to Banter, like a banter guide. And once I did that, people started requesting one-on-one sessions with me. And it's just kind of become a business. It's become my thing, which was totally unintentional, because if I could, I'd choose to do nothing. But unfortunately, I have to do something.
Right. It's interesting because that's kind of how I got into it myself. It was just I always say this, and I said this to Marnie, and this is why I'm really looking forward to talking to you on this, because of the fact that I usually always say that I don't that guys shouldn't take dating advice from women. One of the reasons why I say that is because It's always, if you want to know how to hunt deer, you ask the hunter, you don't ask the deer. But Marnie had such a practical aspect. I mean, I felt like she kind of moved herself out of herself and had the empathy to see it from the perspective of what a guy does, which a lot of women don't have the ability to do that, or don't have no need to. But I mean, I guess, you know, you were looking for a job, so I mean, that's always a motivation to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this: this banter guide that you wrote. I mean, can we talk about that a little bit? Well, first of all, are you in a relationship now or no?
No. By choice, I could be.
Everyone's of course, like, oh, you could.
How do you teach dating if you don't have a boyfriend? I hate that. It's kind of like a thing. I could have a million boyfriends if I want. I just really
well, you haven't. Have a vagina, so it's not hard to get a. It's right. Really not hard to get a boyfriend, so that's not hard.
Right. Surprise, but, surprise! I do have a vagina. Unfortunately,
I was hoping so I didn't get removed in a horrible train accident, but
I lost $20.
I told you, Andre won the Super Bowl pool.
It's so, stuck up there.
But what you kind of incorporate what the principles from stand up or what?
I really just incorporated what I saw growing up. So my dad is really funny, and so I grew up listening to my dad just. All he does is tell jokes. He doesn't really have serious conversations. Like, my mom just passed away and he's still just telling jokes. I'm like, what right. will it take you to shut the fuck up and actually right. talk to somebody? Right, so he's right. just a joke guy. But I noticed growing up, there was a formula almost to his jokes. And it was like he was making a connection or a correlation with one thing and another in an unexpected way. And when I started writing this banter guide, I was trying to give step-by-step how-tos and actually a formula. And so when I was thinking about how do you be witty, because it's not just how to banter. You have to be able to do everything. But if you want to banter successfully, you got to have some ability to be witty, to be fast on your feet. Mm-hmm. So I kind of dug into like what my dad did. And I just noticed that if you connect one thing with another in an unexpected way, that's actually where the humor comes from. So like if a woman says that she's a dog mom, this is an example. Girl says she's a dog mom. I do this quick little brain scan. This is how I teach my guys. You do a quick brain scan of word associations you can make with mom. So, you know, you think of, pregnancy, you think of breastfeeding. So boom, there, right there, I'm making connection between dog mom and breastfeeding. So if I were the guy, I would say to her something like, did you breastfeed or bottle? So okay. you're able to have kind of these witty one-liners with women. You're that's where
fucking
I started.
Dogs, lady. That's what you're not here fucking exactly, dogs. But, damn, give me right. your number.
Right. But that's
and you know
really,
what? For Andre, that'll work. Andre,
that might work.
That will
when you're
work
that handsome,
Andre.
You don't need yeah. lines.
Right. That's why Andre's dialogue coaching and banter coaching is not it's successful
horrible.
At all. Yeah.
Use my package. Go to Kristen.
Yeah, yeah. Andre be like, look at her dress and go, red. Are you blood or Crips?
She like
but that
clip,
works
fool.
In a way that works with the right delivery. It can work. And, you know, like Andre again, so handsome. You can have these kind of bad.
He's not that handsome. Okay.
Enough. Are you mad
enough.
At my friend?
Enough.
Are you mad at my friend?
What's interesting is, look, I you know, that's kind of a, there was a book written years ago of how to do stand up. And it was kind of that, like you kind of do these word associations and you link unnatural, you know, on things that wouldn't link together. But so how do you feel? So is what you teach
Dante,
just
can you
the
fix
banter
your can for a second?
Yeah, I'm trying to do it right now.
Just zoom in
yeah.
There you go.
How do you perceive that builds attraction, or is it just the fact that they're funny and that's the lead up? Because what's interesting about that is you can be funny. I know guys that are funny, but they don't. There's no sexual banter. You know what I mean? There's no. So I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. it doesn't need to be sexual banter, especially at the beginning. So women's right,
initially,
one,
but how do you make that pivot? I mean, so yeah, so what you're talking about is a break. So when you talk about pickup, you talk about the opening, you talk about the banter, which is kind of playful and funny and kind of, but you do have to introduce a sexual element to it, because otherwise then you're a guy who's a great friend. You know, like I always say that, you know, the banter is where the attraction starts, safety. And then after safety, the next step is seduction. But if you have banter, but there's no sexual pivot, or there's no sexual line through,
then you become a cousin.
You become a friend, right? You end up in the friend zone.
Which is great, yeah.
And if you have just the sexual pivot without the banter or without the safety, then you're a creep.
Jail.
Or you go to jail, exactly. So there's a, so how in your system, how do you perceive that?
Well, so my first gut instinct to respond to that is banter is attractive, because a guy who can banter and who can be funny is presenting some sort of command of the language, intelligence, and right there, that's attractive to women.
Oh.
So women are much less literal than men are. So if you're being fun and playful, you're, and then, you know, like you said, the safe thing, safe is also part of it. If you're doing those things, the next step, which I know you probably would hate to hear this, should come naturally. Should be that more of a emotional connection. So you don't really need to have this, oh, I'm going to banter about getting dirt down and dirty later. It's that you're being masculine in leading the conversation. You know, men used to lead and dance. Now we don't do that anymore. So when you lead in the conversation, so I teach guys how to lead the conversations, take it where they want to go. That's like leading and dance. So there's something naturally attractive about that to women. So it's, well, not like just
you're saying it's not just the it's just the taking control. There's a masculinity in taking control. But I would say this, I would push back on this, that if you're leading that attraction, and if you're leading, look, if there's a physical attraction, then that's already there. But there still has to be so the intention. So women don't always assume that there's this sexual component unless you introduce the sexual component. Now, introducing the sexual component doesn't, when I say that, I don't mean it on a blatant level.
Right.
You're not like, right. Oh, I like to suck your tits or something like that. But there has to be a playful
idea. Again, it would work just fine if Andre.
Yeah. Yeah. Andre would be fine with that. I like to suck your tits. It's lit. I want to suck your tits.
It's lit.
So, but there's definitely a sexual, but it's a covert kind of perceived, there's a perceived sexuality going
on.
Yeah,
there's a teasing. If you can tease, I think then, and she's teasing back, or she's okay with it and she's not pulling back, then she's giving you permission to continue forward. Teasing, I think, is the key that's missing. So banter can be just fun, playful back and forth. But in my opinion, the teasing is what differentiates it from friend zone to going sexual.
I think the teasing without comfort. So, you know, one of the things that I constantly say is that, you know, that something that guys don't consider is that every time a woman goes on a date or goes out with a guy, she has to consider whether you might rape her or kill her. Or, I mean, that's a general consideration every time. And this is, and I think sometimes guys don't have the empathy to understand that's the bar that you have to cross, and to not reach that bar is instantly, you're doomed. Like if there's a moment of this kind of creepiness, and that all depends on how attracted she is, because she will make more leeway depending on what the perceived value of the guy is. So when you say there's, it doesn't, that's just the banter. I don't, I think, yes, if the guy is handsome and there's already attraction, but if you're trying to build the attraction from the context. So, I mean, can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah.
How would you say, Dre?
No, I was saying that there's like a element maybe of perception, like where the maybe not even I'm thinking about in myself, like I don't try to steer a conversation. The shit just happened. And then I see like little areas of if I say this over there, that will turn into that conversation. If I say this over here, that will become that conversation. So like example, I remember this girl was telling me about like she was posting about being keto like Harry.
Yeah.
And I just be teasing people about the shit. So she posted. I'm like, ah, that shit trash. And then she's like defending her keto stance.
Right.
And then I explain a little bit of why I don't think is sensible. And then she's like, yeah, I'm doing this just because I want to get slim really quick. So when I get slim, like my slim pictures.
Right.
And then it came up that I liked her pictures beforehand, which is her saying that beforehand, right. I wasn't sexually, I wasn't super attractive, but I'm going to become super attractive. But in that.
Wait, say that again. Rewind that a little bit.
Yeah. So she's saying that she's like, she said, like my slim pictures when they come because I'm going to get slim.
Right.
But in her saying that, it's saying that she wasn't slim before. So those aren't the pictures to like. The pictures to like are coming. But if I feel like being that type of guy, I could be like, well, I liked you already.
Right,
the second I go into what already exists and already is,
yeah.
I could take it there, but I
didn't. Right. But you're also going, I liked you already, which in itself is saying that you attract, I'm attracted to you. I was attracted to you in the first place.
Yeah, which is like, now you can almost make it two attractions because it's like, you're attractive then, you're going to be attractive over there.
Right,
blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
But even that, you know what I'm saying? That's a point. It's not... So I see what you're saying. It's not like you're not trying to control it, but it's sort of like a running back. All of a sudden, the hole opens up on the field, and then you go, and
yeah,
that
you can make the decision to go
make the hole. But you got to make the hole. What I'm interested in is when there is no hole. Like, so you hear women talk about this all the time
It seems like there always is.
Yeah, but for you. I know dudes that it's funny. I just spoke to a guy, an older guy today, and he said to me, oh, so he saw my truck. I have Kristen, I have a lifted Jeep and it's on 37-inch wheels and all. So he goes, oh, nice Jeep. He goes, yeah, I had a vet. He goes, I had a vet, but the girl I was dating, she made me get rid of it. And as soon as I hear that, I go, he's already doomed. And he goes, oh, you know what I mean? I had two little kids. So he starts to pile on with these excuses why he got rid of the car. Now, I get that you have two little kids and you got a Corvette, you need two baby seats or whatever it is. But the point is the fact that in the context of him saying, she made me get rid of it. It there's a subtext in that, in the fact that he doesn't feel in control of his own life, that he's allowing this woman to control his life. And ultimately, it's what you're saying is that in the context of this banter,
he didn't even say I had to get rid of it.
She said she made me
get rid of it.
Right. And I go, why don't you stick your hand in your pants and see if you got a dick or not and check your driver's license, because it doesn't seem like you're of age that you would let somebody. And I'm not saying that there's not a conversation about the practicality, but the subtext, there's always that subtext. So, Andre, like what you were saying is, oh, I liked you already. Is a subtext of, okay, this is a flirtatious kind of sexual thing.
Yeah,
I was saying that
there's a possibility, like in conversations, because she brought up the banter thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In the banter, you kind of see, if you are looking to flirt, you could see where you can flirt, is what I was saying.
Yeah, I get it. But you also, as a comic, we're always looking for the funny, always looking for it. We're always
like
putting
I'm not even going to go over there. That's where it was.
I saw the flirt.
I'm not walking in that direction. Nigga.
Right, I got a girl. Exactly. So Kristen, what do you think about that? And the fact that there is, I think that even when there's not a even when it's not overt, there still has to be that pivot where it becomes something. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. It's like almost like there's a space missing. Like, yeah, we're trying to fill in this gap of like, yeah, how does it go from one thing to the next?
Right.
Intuitively, like women are very intuitive. So there was a guy, I talked about this recently on a masterclass that I did with Marnie. There's a guy who I matched with on Tinder, and I don't go on Tinder much. This was a while ago. Mm. And he was cute. I really liked his look. Physically, I was very attracted to his look. Mm-hmm. The minute we started talking, I was like, this guy is just like a dweeb. Nothing there. No, there's nothing there. He had no personality. He was placating me. Anything that I wanted to hear, he was saying. He was sending stupid memes. And I just was like, ugh, no, it does nothing for me. So I actually, and I don't normally do this, but I said to him, I do banter coaching because I don't put that in my profile, so they don't know what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're really cute, but you're really, really bad at conversation. So right, please let me help you. Okay. And I thought he'd have a little pushback of like, who do you think you are? And maybe it would bring out a little personality or something.
Right.
But he was really pleasant and really receptive. And I ended up not working with him, but we spent about an hour texting back and forth about how to be better in conversation and how to be funny. And a lot of guys, they placate women. And by that, I mean, they just, whatever the woman wants to hear.
Like, they lie.
Right. Like if Andre said something like he liked keto, that would be an example of what so many guys do. It's like, oh, the girl likes keto, I'm going to pretend I'm into keto. And they bend over to be this person for the girl. So with this guy, we ended up keeping in touch, but I had no sexual attraction to him. So that was about a year and a half ago. So,
well, you also don't want to train the dude and then he's using your jams on you and you're like, oh, I taught you this. Oh,
that would be mad he funny did. If you oh, he said did. A, if you said a sentence and then he said the exact same sentence back.
But he started doing that. So right, he started flipping funny. The switch. He that started flipping the funny. Switch on me.
Yeah.
Where it, you know, time had passed. It wasn't an instant thing.
Right.
But
right.
He flipped this switch. And so I flipped the way I saw him because of the way he was communicating with me. He wasn't putting me on a pedestal. He was busting my balls a little bit. Mm-hmm. He was letting me know he wanted to still grab drinks. He was self-deprecating just a little, but not enough, because when you self-deprecate, you show you have confidence. Because, I mean, you can't put yourself down unless you've got some self-esteem to lay on while you self-deprecate.
Sure.
So he started flipping the switch. And I'm not just saying this to say it. I genuinely saw him differently.
Right.
And I wrote to him to see, like, to basically ask him out. And he had a girlfriend by the time I wrote to him.
Wow.
So, you know, so I blew that opportunity.
That also might be why he had the confidence in the first place. It's like a lot of times men are as confident as their options.
Right.
So, you know, the more options that they have. But what I think is interesting is that there's a, you know, there's always this subtext that's going on. And I think I think a lot of times women don't understand that there's this subtext that's going on. I say this all the time. If you meet somebody and you're talking to them, how do they know what your value is? Only way they know it is by you telling them. So they don't know you. You've known you for however many years you've been alive. You tell them what your value is. Now, if you sell that, if you package that in the wrong way, you're gonna lose every time.
Well, you can also demonstrate your value without having to say your value.
Well, I don't mean saying it at all. I mean, I think so. It's funny when you say you're pandering. You know, a guy who panders or kind of, you know, just kind of placates. But so the principles that, you know, it's just truthfulness. It's honesty. So the fact that you're dishonest is what is unattractive if you get caught being dishonest.
Exactly. So women don't see that as masculine. You also show you don't have any value, because if you did have value, you wouldn't have to change yourself to be something else. So it's like, that's that kind of missing piece, is this confidence where it's like a balance between masculine. It's like, you're not being a jerk, You're just being masculine. It's like there's this area.
I don't even know if it's that, because I think even in the context of being a nice guy, it's still attractive if the guy is genuinely nice. But being a nice guy doesn't mean that you let somebody walk all over you or say whatever they want to say or talk to you any kind of way that you want, that any kind that they want to. So the honesty of it is, you know, I say this all the time. If a guy's lying, it's because he doesn't think that what he has is good enough. So if he's 5'4" and he says, how tall are you? And he goes 5'5", it's because he thinks 5'4" is not good enough. Right. And somehow in his weird, twisted mind, 1 inch makes me valid, 1 less inch, which nobody dates somebody simply on the difference of an inch, you know?
Yeah. And let's be real. 5'4" is really short still, or 5'5", I mean, it's still really
yeah,
short.
My dad was 5'2", and he bagged, my dad was 5'2". He couldn't stop bagging chicks. Awesome. My mom fought about it all the time, you know, like, but it was really a situation where his confidence and he was such a dynamic person because of that. You can't, I mean, I get that there's a situation where a girl would go, you know, height is important.
That height shit fucked up, son, because there's women everybody got a height similar. You can find a person, you 5'4", you can find a girl that's 5 feet.
Or 11.
The girl that's 5 feet don't want your short ass.
That's so fucked up. But the
she'd
fact
be a midget
that there are...
and still be like, nah, son, I want a basketball player.
But the fact that there are short people on this earth still means that people are banging other short people.
Somebody's fucking short people.
Right.
Brian Scalara says, look,
down to the pussy.
Brian Scalara used to say, I get laid all the time. I mean, look, we're not running out of fat people. Like, fat people are fucking. So right. We're multiplying. So
literally.
Yeah. It's an interesting. So the truth of it. And that truth comes in different ways. Like, I was coaching a dude, and he was saying to me, he saw this girl on the train, and the girl liked him. She liked him, aesthetically, she liked him. And she was just, he said to me, you know, she kept looking at me, and she was really just giving me the go ahead, but he said I couldn't bring myself, because she was stunning, and he goes,
I've been there before.
I just couldn't bring myself to it. And then, you know, some of the things that I say all the time is that, you know, fear exists where the opportunity presents itself and how long you take to access it. The longer you take to access it, the more the fear builds until it ultimately paralyzes you. So what's interesting is she said she was just literally leaning against the door going like, hello, come on,
you
know, and he froze. And I said, do you understand that even if you had went over to her and said, listen, I really feel like you're attractive, and I feel like we have a bond, but I'm just, you're so stunning that I'm almost afraid of the rejection. Stating the truth is attractive. Now you can't play that tune six times. I'm also, you know, I want a hand job, but I don't want to. You can't keep. I mean, you it'll work once, but you can't keep playing that tune. You get to play it once, and it's just when I said that to him, he was like, "Man, that's perfect." Just being able to say, just being able to be honest in the situation says that you're honest, and honesty makes you feel safe. So if there was an attraction already, the fact that she feels safe, this is already escalating exponentially already.
Yeah, I was just taping an episode with Marnie about an hour before we got on, and we had this guy, Robbie Kramer, on, and he was talking about approaching women. And we got really into the idea of truth. Like, truth is attractive. It's essentially calling out the elephant in the room. So he said he does this thing when he approaches women, and, you know, you've seen it before and stuff, but he gave it a good name. He said, I give them my play-by-play. And his play-by-play is the truth, which was the silly example he gave was like, I was going to approach you, but I just ate a bunch of fish, so I didn't want to smell. So I went and got gum, and now here I am.
Right.
So it's not smooth. There's nothing like cool about that, except but the coolness fact that it's
about is the fact that I feel comfortable enough that I don't really. This is what it is. You can take it or leave it, which is attractive.
Exactly. So going with the truth is always going to be so much better than going with a lie or like a trying to be smooth guy who definitely isn't smooth guy.
Yeah.
You're better off going that
women
way.
Read that incongruency. They can read the incongruency between what you're saying and who you are, even down to your body posture. I don't know if you know the guy that everybody's ranting on the internet, this guy, Kevin Samuels, but he's a black dude who's just blowing up in the whole dating thing. But basically, he's just telling women, he's running around telling women they're not good enough. You're too old. You're not slim enough. You're not this. You know, if you want a high value man, you need to be this and you need to be some. But there's a thing where he on his Instagram live, he hooks up some celebrity girl from Love and Hip Hop comes on his live, and then he goes out to L.A. to meet with her, and he shows he's with her. It's kind of this whole thing. Look at me, blah. I'm with this girl, but me that I've been doing this so long, and when you say the truth is, I always say real game is no game. Like being yourself is really the game. Getting to the point where you're honest enough to not have game is really what the game is. The interesting thing about it is when I'm watching this guy, I'm watching his body language and he's taking this kind of video with her, but it's just very not. And the girl is smoking hot. She's a smoke show. And he's not touching her. He's not bringing him to. And then right away, I'm like, yo, oh, dude, you're a fraud. You know, like, this is fake. You're not really this guy who perceives this confidence and stuff. And it's funny because Marty was saying that there's a lot of guys. I don't know if you went to, how long have you been doing this?
2 years.
2 years. So have you gone to the conference to pick up conferences and stuff like that?
I went to one conference last year. The man something conference.
Man of Spear or something like that.
Something cheesy.
Yeah. And Marty was telling me there's so many guys that go up there and they give this great presentation. They give this great presentation, but then when they come off the stage, they can't look at you they can't even look in your eyes.
Yes. Yes. Now, well, when I was with her last year, I experienced that. So we were at this, I don't know how I forgot the name, of this man something conference, but it was like you could see the effort. Some of these guys, they looked all, everyone was dressed great. And it really, when Marnie and I walked in there, we both kind of went like, whoa, because all these guys were dressed almost like it was like 1940 or 1950, where it was like so put together. And it was really, really attractive from afar. But then once you got close to some of the guys, not all of them, but once you got close to some of them, you could tell they were overcompensating and they were really actually uncomfortable in their own skin.
And
there's nothing more, I guess, deflating as a woman to see these like well-dressed men and then actually talk to them and they can't look you. They have like Asperger's or they have some sort of, they're on the spectrum or something, or at least their nervousness makes them seem that way.
Yeah,
and so it's like, sometimes when guys do this self-betterment stuff, they're out of alignment. Like they've worked on their wardrobe, they've got their wardrobe down, but they have no social skills still. And the guys, some of the guys, presenting, not tons of them, but a couple of them where that was their world, like giving this, how to dress well. Like this is all I know. And then once I'm taken out of this world of just talking about style, I don't know how to talk about other things.
Right. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna ask. One of the things we get asked all the time is about online dating, and I was wondering what are the common mistakes men make with their dating profiles, because that's the wave of the future now. That's how people are dating.
Yeah. Well, the most common mistake is being generic, because there's so many guys, and for women. You know, even if women aren't that good looking, they're still getting so many matches because they have a vagina.
Right.
So every guy is going at it the exact same way. They're doing a boring generic profile where they're saying what women want to hear. Like, you know, I'm a well-rounded guy who likes to hike on the weekends and my mom thinks I'm handsome. It's like, oh my God, give me some coffee to keep me awake while I go through your profiles, because they're so boring. So guys have to do something to stand out. So I actually, part of my business, which you can find at kristenandchill.com. It's like a play on Netflix and chill, which is really lame, but I make over guys' dating profiles.
Right.
So I make them as unique and bold and short, concise as possible.
Right.
So the biggest mistake online is the genericness in both their presentation of their profile, but also in the messages that they're sending. Mm-hmm. So the, hey, how was your weekend?
Hi. Hey, beautiful. Hey, a lot beautiful. Of girls, a lot of guys do the hey, beautiful.
And I get in my DMs, you know, the same. If someone slides into my DMs, for the most, if they don't know what I do, if they just maybe see me on a dating, on the like a dating app or something, and I didn't match with them, and they go to my DMs, it's the same thing. Hey, beautiful. Hey, beautiful. And I want to say, I don't want to be a jerk, but I just want to say, why on earth do you think that I would respond to this if I have, not that I have a gajillion followers, but I have 10,000 followers.
Yeah, but you, I mean, you have a vagina.
All women have numerous, all their DMs are filled.
Hey, beautiful.
Filled. Hey, beautiful. Filled. Hey, beautiful. Hey, beautiful. Even the girl with one tooth and an eye patch. Right. Somebody going, hey, beautiful.
Yeah. She gets hey pretty, maybe not hey beautiful. But well, I want to say, what is mentally wrong with you that you would think this would work? Why? I'm actually curious of the psychology.
I think they're just scared, yo. That's scary. Yeah,
well, that's what it is. The approach anxiety, Dre. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about that
all
the time.
One time, this girl had on some, like, she looked like she had on some khaki shit in her picture. I was like, you look like you work at CVS.
I love that. So if a guy slid into my DMs and said that, I'd be like, okay, hi. I may not instantly fall in love with you, but I would at least respond.
It's an opening. It's an opening. Yeah. It's an opening, and that's all you're asking for is an opening.
And it takes confidence to say something like that. He doesn't have the approach anxiety because he said something sarcastic to me. He took me down a peg. So I'm going to want to fight back to that and go, no, like, wait a second. You think you can bust my balls? Let me bust your balls.
Right.
And so it becomes, you know, a reason to respond versus just another compliment that they're now going to put you in the pile of garbage to the left of all the men who have also said, hi, beautiful.
I think possibly made it work is, although all dudes, we had the same goal. We got gross, disgusting people. However, I genuinely do want to have fun too. So like when the girls be like, oh, I want to go bowling, I fucking bowl, yo. I'm not there for your ass right now, bitch. I need the strike. Like, I'm trying to get it. So, and I think because of that, I would like to
also submit to this. Andre's trying to have all the fun all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. So it's like if you not fun, I mean, John Andre has a girl now, but I mean, it's you know, but even that, he's having all the fun all the time at the risk of even losing,
I mean, blowing this shit up.
Like I'm the confidence of that, the fact that it's so interesting, and people, you find that people they've dealt with so much trauma and so much insecurity and stuff. The fact that you don't care makes them care. Because they, you find this about the prettiest girls are the most insecure. They're worried about everything. It's the chick that looks like a mailbox in a dress. She's confident. I know you want some of this. You like, no. I mean, I guess.
I saw me at Chris Rock when he said, I got some good pussy under this gut.
And then they say, I know you want some of this. So confident. You go, I mean, wait a minute. Do I? Maybe I do want some of that. I didn't think so before, but now I'm in, you know. It's an interesting, like, the the congruency of that, though. Women are so intuitive in terms of the incongruency. And I think because you're dating, you're coaching, I think you've kind of understand it on a more pragmatic level. But the reality, it's really just a visceral feeling that you have. So when you read the regular profile, you're literally as comics, we go, ugh, this stinks, you know, and that comes from. But even that is a visceral reaction to what's going on, you know. I think it's difficult to make it. To understand it in a pragmatic way. Go ahead, Harry. What you were gonna say?
I was gonna say, from your own personal dating history, like, how has becoming a dating coach affected your dating? Like, even from the other end,
super negatively, because I'm micro dissecting everything. I'm like, I've always been like that anyway, but for online dating. If a guy sends me, like, I matched with, I'm not doing much dating, you know, I'm going through grief and loss, and it's really hard to, you know, feel anything but sadness right now, but I'm trying to distract myself occasionally. And I've been opening up Hinge, and I matched with this guy who was like hot, like super hot. And I was just like crossing my fingers, like, please say something interesting. Please say something different. Please say something different. And he said, "Hey, where do you live?" And I didn't unmatch him. I just never answered. And so I don't know if I'd be like that if I did this, but I do this every single day. So my expectations are a lot higher.
Becoming a chef and then eating at a restaurant.
Eating at McDonald's.
Yeah. You're never going to enjoy that shit the same way again.
But it's also like a comic. Exactly. And, you know, when you're a comic, you go,
there's a sense you just know if someone gets it and if someone doesn't get it.
You can't handle like regular conversation, like at a barbecue. I went to this barbecue and this kid was like the funny guy, but like funny.
That is,
and I was there with my girl, but we were enjoying how bad it was, but it was still cringeworthy. Like how funny he thought
like,
he was.
You're like, what's today's date?
Hilarious.
The 15th, all day. And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, kill me.
It's like being Roddy Piper where he has those They Live glasses where you can see all the aliens underneath.
It's cringeworthy. But here's something that I'm, and this is sometimes I have a problem with where I think women have this, the difference, one of the basic difference in men. A man will have a woman, like say if he has a few people that he's dating casually, right? Neither one of them has, you know, made his nature rise, right, Harry?
Who was the one who said, was that your dad?
I said it was like an old
one of your uncles or something. Yeah, from the Great Depression.
Probably my uncle, make your nature rise. Yeah. And but because of the fact that like you'll have this kind of rotation that you're going through. And then one day you can have a guy will have a revelation about somebody that they never saw attractively and just go, man, you know, this chick has always been ride or die. She's always been dope. She's always been down for me. I'm kind of like her.
Maybe I should fuck Fat Trisha.
You
she would appreciate it. She needs it.
Pan-Trisha. But women very rarely do that. Like, once you get categorized in that, oh, you get stamped with that, done.
Or
you got to go to the Peace Corps, dig some wells in Colombia,
or you could just go to jail right quick, get right, come out,
either or,
come home picture.
Well, I mean,
it's still
all
right. I'm home, boy.
She's still got to do the thing of like, hey, Kenny, it's Ken. It's Ken now.
Yeah.
You gotta rebrand.
K-Dog.
It's K-Dog, yeah.
K-Dog. K-Born. My sister married the dude, like she, he was like the friend zone dude who was chump. He was fat and he was always hanging around. He was like, hey guys, I'm just going to hang out with you girls. This is awesome, right? I just got my retainer on, but I can still talk good. And he actually went to the Peace Corps. When he came back, he, you know, because he wasn't eating, he was trim and fit. He was, you know, sandy hair and blue eye, gray eyes. And then, bang.
See, wait a minute, this nigga went to the Peace Corps and his eyes color changed?
Well, then, well, I don't
what
think,
are you
I
think doing? He, damn, I think he was, good.
He was so, I think he was so fat, Dre, that he was just, he was always looked like this.
Oh, the salt was in his eyes? His eyes had high cholesterol?
And he had fat overhead. He had a
nigga
fat
had baking grease in his eyes.
Yeah. Oh. But he came back and she was like, oh, who's this? You will get this, though. You'll get where the women, she'll remember and then give you the test, give you the shit test. And if you pass the shit test, then you got a new, you got a whole new kind of breakdown. You have a new opportunity to break down. But a guy will take a chick who's just been ride or die and then go, hey, I am.
It's because he's desperate. Isn't there, no. Does that happen out of desperation when you see someone differently? No. Because I felt that way when I started liking that guy who was totally not,
well, was it
not doing it for me before.
I mean, but let's be honest. I mean, you didn't feel like it was desperate.
Well,
there's a vitriol.
I think I was lonely enough where I was willing to go, okay, what about
you
this
said,
guy?
All right, fuck it.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, fuck it.
I'm only getting uglier. That's like, I'm only going to get uglier from here. I have to do something, you know.
That was,
well,
the third,
but let's be honest.
Saturday.
Let's be honest. Women do not fuck with a guy who they don't want to fuck with. That they don't think is a woman will never. I would say a woman will never date a guy who she doesn't think is better than her. If she doesn't think he's better, now better is a relative term. You know, whatever she perceives as better. But in that moment, to give him the opportunity, you're going.
So how you explain divorce court, Dante?
What do you mean? That's when she decides. That's
relationships on there
because
they both be bums together.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. She perceives him
as
a bigger bum.
Yeah. It doesn't matter her condition. She could be a bum. She could be a bum, Andre. He can't be a bum. It's like, that's especially more reason that you can't be a bum, because I'm busy being the bum. I need somebody else to
bum
help, so
occupants.
I could be a bum.
Yeah, it's got to be both. Kristen, can you hang out for 15 minutes before we do something behind the Patreon and quick?
Yeah.
But I want you to plug everything you want to plug, your social media and everything, and then we're gonna go behind the paywall, the Patreon.
So you guys, if you want banter services, I'm the only one who really does this kind of stuff. You can go to kristenandchill.com. I banter one-on-one. So we do private sessions with just me, role-playing as the chick you want to be talking to. You can hit me up on Instagram as well at Chris Karn, KRISCARN. And sometimes, you know, if you slide into my DMs, you guys can say, hey, beautiful, just to boost my self-esteem, but to refer back to this episode, and I'll get back to you with if you have any questions.
Well, tell us she worked at CVS.
Yeah, either or will work.
What up, Kristen? CVS
or be Andre.
That's where I'm gonna end up. I guarantee it.
Or be handsome, Andre. You stink, Andre. Andre, talk to me. Give me a.
You're Andre D. Thompson, Slouch Theory. That's it. Just Google it. You lit.
No doubt. Harry.
All my stuff at Harry Turjanian, and check out the Man School Instagram. Check out Man School on TikTok, and subscribe to the YouTube page. That's where we're releasing most of the visual content.
Yeah, me, everything, Instagram, the Dante Nero. Don't forget my YouTube, all the social media, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff is up. And don't forget, if you need a one-on-one consultation, hit me up at DanteNero.com. Click on consult. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all, man. We going behind the Patreon. Support us with the Patreon so we can keep doing this thing. You know what I mean? If you like, I get messages all the time. You saved my life. You changed my life. Take care of me, y'all. Take care of me. We are out. Man School 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by
Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.